morning, everyone. It's good to be back with you. And so we can have some fun in the Word together, discovering more about this amazing gospel, this extraordinary gospel, the good news that is so good, so stunning, that it's almost sounds like something that's a fantasy, not real. As a matter of fact, when somebody's, quote, preaching the gospel, or they're talking about the Christian life, if it doesn't sound almost ridiculous, otherworldly, then it's usually not God, because the Christian life is ridiculously otherworldly. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. That's just the reality, and we live from that reality. Though we walk on this earth, we walk from a seated position. I want to talk to you about being free from a disappointed heart and the spirit of offense that attaches itself to a disappointed heart. The only solution for that kind of life is one that is believing, not just a person who's a believer in Christ, but who's actually practicing being a believer. We're called believers because we're called to believe as a continual way of life. And so I'm going to read a few verses to you. We'll look at this. We may look at it again tomorrow too, but we'll just see how we do. This is from Matthew chapter 11, verse 6. And it says this, "And blessed," that's a good word. We all want to live blessed life, right? "And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me," or "blessed is he who's not offended with me." Now, this is Jesus answering or responding to some people that John the Baptist sent to him, asking Jesus if he was actually the Messiah. Now remember, John the Baptist is in prison facing death. Not sure he expected that. He assumed that Jesus, his cousin, who was announced by John first to be the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world, John expected Jesus to overthrow the Romans, to establish the kingdom of heaven on the earth when Christ was declared to be the Messiah by John, that when God showed him that he was the Messiah. That was what the Messiah is supposed to do. And so when Jesus wasn't doing that, wasn't overthrowing Roman government and all governments and establishing the physical government of God on the earth, he sent word to Jesus wondering if he actually was the Christ. John was struggling. He was doubting. He was doubting because he stumbled over Jesus. He was, in a sense, offended with Jesus because Jesus wasn't doing it the way he thought Jesus was going to do it. That happens to us, you know. And so his unbelief and his stumbling over Jesus and being offended were all connected. And Jesus said, "Blessed is he who's not offended with me or doesn't stumble over me." The word to stumble there is carries the idea that you're walking along and you strike your foot against a rock or an obstacle of some sort that you didn't notice. And it caused you to stumble and to fall, in a sense, or even just to stumble. But the idea is that not just that you're stumbling, but you didn't notice the thing that you stumbled over. That's what happens when we stumble, when we hit some object. We don't intentionally hit that object. To stumble is not meant to be. We just didn't notice it. Now note, I want you to see this is from 1 Peter. I had a dream last night, a prophetic dream. I won't share all about the prophecy because it really wasn't, it was a bigger issue than just this story. But towards the end of the dream, I kept hearing the words in my head, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, 1 Peter 2, verse 7. And when I woke up, that was still sort of echoing in my mind, these scriptures. And I wasn't sure what the scriptures were, but they just kept echoing. It was sort of the context, the backdrop of this prophetic dream and something God was speaking to me. And so this morning as I woke up and hung out with the Lord and began to read, and I read 1 Peter 1, 7, and we won't necessarily look at that today. We might. But then at 1 Peter 2, 7, I realized in both of those scriptures, he's talking about believing. Well, I will read chapter 1, verse 7. Let me just read that to you. I'll start with verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And although you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You greatly rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of souls. In other words, the testimony of you believing, even in the midst of various trials, especially in the midst of various trials, is such a powerful thing that it causes other people to surrender their lives to Christ. They want to live that life that they see you demonstrating in the midst of a fallen world and in various trials, is that instead of being discouraged and disappointed and offended with life, you're greatly rejoicing. You're walking in faith. All right? This is 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll begin in verse 4. And coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices are the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. For this is contained in Scripture. Now listen to what he says. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, speaking about Jesus, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Now, the idea here, this word, isn't that you just accepted Christ as your Savior. You won't be disappointed in faith. But the idea is that you're living a lifestyle of believing in him. And a result of that, you're not living a life of disappointment. And then he goes on, he says in the next scripture, the very next verse, this precious value. Now, he talked about the precious stone, but the precious value he's talking about here is the precious value of believing as a way of life in Jesus, and not having a disappointed heart. This precious value, then, is for you who are believing, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Let's remind ourselves of the gospel. The gospel is this, that you have been placed into the life that Jesus lives and the favor with the Father that he lives under. God's goodness towards Christ is God's goodness towards you because you're in Christ. God is as good to you as he is to Jesus. And the Christian life is being placed into his life and the relationship and favor he has with the Father, the life that Jesus lives. Another way we've talked about this is that you, being placed into Jesus, the very person of Jesus, and his story. So now longer, you no longer have an independent story, you have an individual story, but you've been placed into Christ and his story so he can live out his life and his story through your life and your life story. So in other words, you believe that now because you're in Christ, he's living his life out through you, and your story is now his story. And though he may not cause everything that happens, because sovereign God, being in Christ, sovereign God is ordering your steps, and that even those things that the enemy causes, he incorporates them into the story and causes them to work together for good. And so to live a life of believing in Christ, he said, if you believe in him, you will not be disappointed. If moment by moment, I'm trusting and believing that Jesus is living his life through me, and he's doing it just right, and he's more than big enough for the story he's telling. If I'm believing in that, then I'm surrendered to that, and I'm believing that, then I'm not being disappointed. Things may happen. Things that are painful may happen. Things that you weren't expecting may happen. People's behavior may not be what you wanted them to be. But you don't live disappointed because you're not focused on second causes. What you're believing is that your story's now been lost into His story. And He's now telling your story step by step, minute by minute, through your life and your life story. And so to believe in Him, moment by moment, to believe, instead of getting upset with someone because they didn't behave the way you want them to, getting mad and getting offended, being disappointed in their behavior, and therefore being offended in that moment. Because every time you hear a disappointed heart opens the door for an offended spirit. And so instead of doing that, you believe, you're able to, the scripture says, give thanks in all things. Give thanks for all things. 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all things. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, give thanks for all things. You can't be disappointed and thankful at the same time. Doesn't mean that you're thrilled at how they behaved in terms of how it affects them. But you're believing that your story has been lost in His story. And Jesus knows what He's doing. And so you're believing that He's in control and you're thanking Him for that moment. And your heart's not being disappointed. You're living in a constant state of hope and expectation. Now, let me just tell you, with that kind of attitude, kind of like Paul and Silas at midnight in the Philippian jail, singing praises to God, even in their painful, horrible situation and circumstance, they were giving thanks. They were believing. They weren't living in disappointment. And magic happened. Miracle occurred. The jail, the earthquake came. The jail cell was opened up. The man, the jailer, and his whole household got saved. Whenever you're living with a thankful heart, whenever you're believing moment by moment in the one who's in control of your story, it's now His story, then you won't live with disappointment. But if you're not believing, if you're not practicing the presence of Jesus that way, then you're constantly being disappointed with this world, with what people are doing, with how people are acting, with this situation or that circumstance. And when you are living in a place of constantly disappointed, you live with an offended heart. You can always tell when a person lives with an offended heart, who lives disappointed in people, situations, and circumstances, because they're critical a lot. They may be sweet, but they're always finding things to be critical about. They complain a lot because that's a spirit of offense that attaches itself to a heart that's disappointed. The only solution to that, the opposite of that, is someone who's in Christ and from Jesus, believing that He is in control of every step and that He's more than big enough for His story, no matter what it might be, and therefore not being disappointed. You can live without a disappointed heart. It's amazing. Though people in the world may still be crazy and do different things, but you can live disappointed for them instead of always being disappointed with them. Because when you live disappointed, a spirit of offense always attaches itself to it. You hear me? This is really, really an important word. I want to see, make sure I don't keep you late. It's such a significant word because it's so practical to how you daily live your life. I find that among Christians, there are either those who are believing believers who moment by moment live surrendered to His story, trusting wisdom, trusting in His perfect leadership, and trusting that He's big enough for whatever His story involves. And therefore, instead of being disappointed, even in the most difficult, painful situations, they're being thankful because they believe He knows what He's doing and His story is always the best one. You're either living that way or you're living constantly disappointed in this world, in the way people behave, in situations and circumstances. And the result of that is a spirit of offense attaches itself to your disappointed heart. And it comes out in all those not fun ways. Okay? So my prayer for you, that each of us would see this. So repentance, the Lord says it's His goodness that leads us to repentance. It's His kindness that leads us to repentance. So whenever the Lord shows us things like this, it's not to make you feel bad. is to give you opportunity, to offer you an opportunity to repent again, think with, to think with Him, to now surrender once again, sink into Jesus, and start thinking with the mind of Christ. And to think with the mind of Christ is to live a thankful life. To think from the mind of Christ is to believe that He's in control, it's His story, He's doing it just right, and He's more than big enough for every single chapter of His story as it unfolds moment by moment in my life. Okay? Well, have a great day as believing ones and being free from a disappointed heart. Love you so much. I'm so grateful for those of you who join in. And if this has value, if it ministers to you, then if you'll just send it to some friends, then other people can experience some breakthroughs also. God bless.